Zero harm is a universal aspiration, but you can be perfectly safe and go perfectly broke. How can we ensure the best chance of achieving zero harm while providing a sustainable and competitive return to our shareholders? Boards must ensure that the corporations they govern have every chance of keeping their staff safe, the best life they can lead. Injuries affect employees, their families, and their colleagues. Fatalities are devastating. A high injury rate stains both the organization and the reputations of individual leaders who fail to prevent such incidents from occurring. It's unethical not to care about the safety and well-being of the people who work with you and for you, not to mention the criminal liability that accrues up the chain of accountability when occupational health and safety systems fail. But like all things in life, safety is not absolute. People are injured, people are maimed, and people are killed at work. If you wanted to keep people perfectly safe in industrial environments, you'd have to stop doing work. It's no different to thinking that if you wish for no car accidents, then take all cars off the road. But if we don't have anyone turning up to work because of the risk of an accident, our companies and whole economies would quickly grind to a halt. So how do we come as close as possible to delivering zero harm workplaces when we need to remain competitive? If we want to win over customers, we must demonstrate that we can win on price and availability without taking expedient shortcuts with our ethics. As employers, we must be fair dinkum regarding the value we place on our employees' occupational health and safety. Let's start by framing how we think about safety practices of work as something we do to keep us safe for the best life we can lead, whether at work, at home, or in the community, rather than safe from dangerous equipment, hazardous environments, or risky practices. In doing so, we provide more motive power to enterprise-wide efforts to achieve zero harm. We must put the individual, where the worker meets the work, in the best possible position to be safe to live their best life. The individual worker becomes the locus around which all health and safety efforts are organized. From the place where the worker meets their work, enormous effort has been applied to build out systems of safety that scale up through supervisors, superintendents, managers, general managers, vice presidents, and presidents. Processes are developed to incorporate safety protocols, and controls are put in place for every conceivable activity one might undertake that has a safety element. Consultants and government agencies help to build out and audit the systems. Colleagues are encouraged to look out for each other, and slogans such as "all guarantee everyone goes home safe and well" help to spread the word that safety is everyone's business. To make these controls come alive and gain increasing relevance, leaders try to bring safety awareness into the everyday habits of the workplace by, for example, stopping all meetings with a safety moment. Posters are placed on the walls urging you to hold a handrail when climbing or descending the staircase. And disciplinary action can be taken if you're caught outside work crossing a public road against the lights. Senior leaders most want to achieve three things: that processes are fit for the purpose for which they've been designed, that everyone is fully present and aware to doing their work in such a way that they can come as close as possible to the aspirations of zero harm, and finally, that the cost impost of these health and safety controls are not so burdensome that it robs the organization of their ability to sustain their competitive edge. Let's look at those needs and see if the advent of artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning, ML, can help make a material difference in accomplishing superior health and safety outcomes, while simultaneously lowering the cost to the business of doing so. In other words, can we square the circle of safety and productivity? One of the issues surrounding safety controls is that they vary over time between different parts of the organization. Many large corporations, in whose head office ultimate accountability for safety resides, have multiple divisions, often the result of mergers or acquisitions. Each has brought to their health and safety practices their own way, their own controls, and generate documentation, making it very difficult to make comparisons and see patterns across the enterprise. When it comes to analyzing incidents, a Pareto analysis could yield critical information about which controls are working and which need improvement. But too often, incidents are recorded in various ways. Comparing apples with oranges means you don't know which controls are effective in reducing what type of incident. Addressing this problem with standardizing safety controls is the first place where AI and ML can make a huge difference. With the advent of natural language engines, it is possible to import the original control documents into the system and have the AI agent return results that are normalized across all instances. In other words, the AI engine looks for recurring patterns of words and phrases and learns how to group them. So, for example, if there are 100 documents across the organization which address how best to be safe when working at heights, you can relatively quickly create a master document that encompasses everything unique and nothing that is duplicated when it comes to working at heights. In one case I'm associated with, the AI engine has addressed over 10,000 separate documents to create a single, normalized corporate library of unique safety controls. The next step is to normalize all the incidents. We humans can recognize that when we read a report that says, "Meter written bitten by a dog," it's the same as saying, "The dog bit the meter reader." However, trying to query these results traditionally wouldn't work, as the data is not sufficiently structured to do so. With an AI agent, these problems can be relatively easily solved, right down to the level where you know that 2 p.m. on Wednesdays is not a good time for meter readers to wander through suburbia, unless they take the risk mitigation step of carrying around a packet of dog biscuits. Once the controls have been reduced to a standardized set and incidents are recorded in a standard way, it becomes possible to address the first of the safety prerequisites demanded by executives, that the processes they have are fit for purpose for which they have been designed. One can see which controls have affected which incidents. A method, such as the 5-step focus, can be used to repeatedly zero in on the actions necessary to eliminate the worst offenders and move systematically to the next and the next ad infinitum. But how do we deal with the second prerequisite, that everyone is fully present and aware to doing their work in such a way that they come as close as possible to the aspiration of zero harm? Once again, AI and ML can help. It is of the nature of human learning that we forget what we've learned. Different people have different forgetting curves for different topics, and we all see the sharpness of our recall deteriorate over time. One way we can deal with the forgetting is to adopt the use of spaced repetition of the learning. Let's say you've been through a site safety induction, which included some learning modules along with an assessment. Some weeks later, you're asked to recall something specific from that induction. You've forgotten. The AI-powered system learns what you forget, comes to know the time duration between your last test and your forgetting, and serves up targeted micro-learning refresher courses for you to complete before the following assessment. What the AI agent can do that the traditional spaced repetition learning system cannot do is tailor the intervals and the topics precisely to your needs. But that's not all. We can connect the worker to where they meet the work, for example, through a mobile notification of an upcoming job. Then we can attach to the work order all the safety controls necessary to be fully kitted to complete it without injury. At a suitable time before the job starts, the worker can be assessed on the steps needed to safely complete the job, considering their personalized forgetting curve about the topics at hand. At the next level up, the supervisor can review a heat map of their team's readiness to safely perform the job, either in advance or at the work front. Let's say the supervisor had 2 boilermakers, a rigger, a fitter, and a couple of trade assistants in their team. With individual assessments for each team member and an automated check of their formal qualifications, the supervisor could easily see significant risk areas. So, for example, let's say the job involved working at heights in a confined space. The supervisor looks at the heat map of the knowledge in the team and sees that it's red, bad, when it comes to working at heights, and blue, good, when it comes to confined spaces. They then know what additional training and coaching they need to make sure everyone goes home safe. The constantly updated information on every employee can be used proactively in assembling teams. Let's say we have someone who's strong on a particular safety control required for a given piece of work. The team also has a novice who's yet to learn the correct way to stay safe on the job of that nature. The system can ensure that when the team is put together, the novice is always paired with a master to ensure the transmission of good health and safety habits. And of course, the assessments and spaced repetition learning doesn't stop at the level of the supervisor. All the way up to management accountability hierarchy, micro-learning courses, spaced repetition of learning, and appropriate assessments can be developed that help superintendents, managers, and executives understand, at their level, the legal and leadership obligations. What about the third prerequisite, that the cost impost of these health and safety controls are not so burdensome that it robs the organization of their ability to sustain their competitive edge? Using such a system that zeroes in on the individual worker meeting their work and its task-relevant safety knowledge within the horizon of their personal and empirically derived forgetting curve must mean that the worker is far less likely to get injured, Finally, when targeted and efficient alternatives are available, you don't have to take people out of work to give unfocused refresher courses and validations of competency. Best of all, through such a system, we learn how to focus on those safety protocols which make the most significant difference to the most consequential of incidents, thus foregoing the vastly more costly, less effective option of the shotgun approach, which ensures we're focusing on constraints.